Thank you, Pastor Haley, for that introduction. And I'm so excited. My husband is somewhere out there. He got up early in the morning and said, I'm coming to support you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. And my daughter is here. I'm excited. My other daughter doesn't live here. She's all grown up and doing her own stuff. But we've been chatting, and she's been such an encouragement as well. Pastor Haley, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for trusting me to stand here today. I really thank God, because it's Him. That's why I'm here. God has done so much in my life. He's brought me from a place of brokenness. And for me to stand here is really a miracle. I was so excited last night. Who was here last night? Yeah. Wasn't that awesome? And she just laid the foundation for what I'm going to talk about. One of the chains. It was about unchaining the elephant, right? One of those chains is shame. So this morning I'm going to talk about shame. And that Jesus has set us free. So I will read from Galatians 5 verse 1. And that's the verse we use for living free. I'll read from the NIV. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If I can ask this question, how many women can honestly say, I am free in this room? Yeah, not everybody. I know what it means not to be free. You know, as I began to pray after I was asked to speak in this conference, to pray and seek the face of God, one thing that God began to show me was so much brokenness in the lives of women. Women are so broken. Women are hurting all over. And it doesn't matter where, which place you are at, what level you are at in life, whether you are up there working, making lots of money, or you're just a housewife, or you just consider yourself to be a housewife. Women are just so broken and hurting. One of the things that affects us a lot, and which began way back in the Garden of Eden, is shame. And unfortunately, shame is something that is not really talked about a lot. It's something that, even from the pulpits, you go to church, there are a lot of messages, powerful messages that come. But one thing that is rarely touched on is shame. But shame is something that is affecting everyone when they come to church. Many Sundays we come to church and the person you're just sitting next to is suffering from shame. I looked up the dictionary definition of shame, and this is what I came across. Shame is a painful emotion resulting from an awareness of inadequacy or guilt. Shame is a painful emotion resulting from an awareness of inadequacy or guilt. At its very core, shame is the fear of weakness, of failure, or a feeling of unworthiness. I don't feel loved, like nobody cares. Shame is like something that you wear. Guilt is you feel it, but shame is actually like your identity. You carry it on you. You move around with it. It is a powerfully painful emotion. I looked at some of the words that we can use to describe the feelings of shame. These are humiliation, disgrace, anger, dishonor, embarrassment, unworthiness, remorse, anguish, sorrow, and self-reproach. Shame can start from when you're very little. I know probably my daughter will really look at me later and say, how could you say that? But I first went to boarding school when I was in grade 4. I was sent to a mission school way up in Northwestern Province. Some of you may know Sakeji School. It's a very wonderful school. And the time I went to Sakeji, there were very few black kids that went to that school. Most of the kids that went there were children of missionaries. So it was like 90-95% was white kids. And when I got there, I was so excited. It was the first time in my life when my parents bought me a whole suitcase of clothes just for me. Everything brand new. And when I got there, I was like, wow, I've come to this place. So many Muzungus. All the teachers were Muzungus. We all ate together with the teachers, all Muzungus. So it was like, you know, I'd gone up a notch. But after a few, yeah, I know, it's like, well that time it was. It was a great achievement. And after like a week, I really began to feel so homesick. I was so lonely. I began to miss home. And, you know, I was a very fearful child when growing up. I couldn't even sleep in my bed on my own. I always had to sleep with somebody in my bed. And I remember this night, I woke up at school, and I wanted to go to the bathroom, and I just couldn't get up. They would switch off the lights, but there would be dim lights, especially in the corridors and going to the bathroom. And that night, I wet my bed. And I was so embarrassed. In the morning, getting up, and we had a dorm parent, and she came, and she saw what had happened. Of course, she wasn't happy, but she didn't scold me. But looking around and seeing all these small, small kids around me, because that school starts from grade one, and I wet my bed. And for a long time, that used to eat me up so much. So shame can start from when you're very little to even now, when you're all grown up. Shame is something that you feel when you are rejected. It's something that you feel when you've been abused in life, whether physically, sexually, or emotionally. Because of shame, you don't tell anybody a lot of times because you feel it's all my fault. Shame loves to masquerade as embarrassment. Last year, we heard Pastor Haley talk about the masks, and she touched on it a bit last night. Taking off those masks, and we hide a lot of times. And you find now women are hiding, especially in my nation, Zambia. We are not real. We hide because of a lot of stuff that we've gone through. I remember there was this woman I used to pray a lot with a few years back. She always used to like saying, "Women, why do you love carrying stuff in your heart? You know your heart was just created to carry the word of God and his love. But you're always carrying things. You carry people. You're mad. You're angry. You're bitter." And you know, you find so many people. I don't know about other nations. Let me talk about my nation, Zambia. A lot of women have got high blood pressure. And sometimes you wonder. I know high blood pressure can be triggered off by a lot of other issues. But sometimes it's just because of stuff that you carry in your heart. And you don't expose your heart to God and allow him to heal you. Like I said, shame was first found in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. We know the story. They committed high treason against God. And this sin brought fear, embarrassment, and shame. Shame created barriers, a barrier between them and God. They had a perfect union and communication and just a friendship and relationship with God. But that was broken because of sin, and shame came in. If we can go to Genesis chapter 3, if you can turn there, I'll just quickly read this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together, made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And a lot of times, that's what happens to us. Have you noticed what happens with kids, small little kids? They're so free to walk around butt naked. They can just run here, you know, and you go, you get embarrassed. Go and cover up, put on something on, you know. But, you know, that's how God created us to live with Him and with one another. Not ashamed. But this is what happened when sin entered. Shame entered. And they began to hide. The Bible says they sowed fig trees. And that was just so temporary. Fig trees in 3-4 days, they'll dry up. You need something else. And God in His love and mercy, He slaughtered an animal. That was the first sacrifice in the Bible. And He covered them with clothing that was appropriate for them. I want us to look at some of the issues that cause women to hide. And especially as I deal a lot with women, there are certain things that have really been stirring in my heart. And I do talk to women a lot and pray with them. And I see transformation beginning to take place in the hearts and the lives of women. But there are certain things, like Pastor Haley mentioned some of them last night. We are so stuck in some of these things and don't allow the love of God to heal us. The first thing is very popular, especially in this nation, marriage and failed marriages. There are so many separations and divorces, even in the church. These are taking place every day. Women are crying. Maybe your husband has cheated on you. You are so heartbroken and you are sitting here today. This is an area where many suffer shame. Because I can imagine you're out there and you're saying, why would my husband leave me for another woman? You know? And we heard what we're not supposed to do last night. Your job is not to go after that woman. It's your husband who has those issues. But I can imagine the rejection, the pain, that he no longer loves me. He's going out somewhere else. And you are all stuck alone and you can't talk about it. It makes you feel like you are not good enough. And I can tell you, the solution is not for you to go out there and cheat on him as well. Because you find sometimes that's what happens. You want to take revenge because he's cheating on me. I'm going to go out there and show him. But that doesn't bring any healing at all. In fact, it just brings a whole bigger mess in your life and in your marriage. When we look at the life of the Samaritan woman, I began to look at some of the women in the Bible. We talk a lot about, women who had issues in the Bible. But I saw something that the root of a lot of these problems, the issues that they had, was shame. And they did try to cover up the shame. They did try to hide. And there are a lot of women that we can relate to. And I'll start with the Samaritan woman. Her story is found in John chapter 4, from verse 1 to 30. You can read it. We know that story very well. This woman met with Jesus at the well one day. She went there. And one thing that you notice is she always went to the well alone. The Bible says this woman had been married 4 times. And the man that she was living with, cohabiting, that's an issue, cohabiting with, that wasn't even a husband. She was just living with him. And you begin to wonder, what was really going on in the life of this woman? I know we can read it as a story, but most of us can relate to that. She was married 4 times. I think it's huge to get married 4 times. Falling in love 4 times, having a husband 4 times, dealing with 4 husbands, wow. One husband is enough. Wow. So when you don't have a husband and you're always desperately looking for another husband, I always wonder, but that's me. So this woman was on her 5th man, and then she met the man who changed her life, the man who took away that shame in her life. I can imagine that for her to have been alone at the well at that time when she met Jesus, she was a woman who was hiding from other women. And I'm sure other women resented her. She must have been a woman who, when they saw her, they said, be careful. Hide your husband. This woman is dangerous. Not that dangerous that we spoke about last night, but she was dangerous in a negative way. She must have been hurting, empty inside. You may be sitting here and you are empty. And you've been trying to go from one man to another, thinking that man is the one that is going to satisfy you. That is the man that is going to put a smile on your face. You've tried it. Some things that we do, we don't even talk about. We can't dare because they're so shameful. Those secret phone calls, the secret text messages, those secret visits that you take to those lodges. And then you come, you are in church, you're sitting, you know, you act like everything is okay. You go to work like life is fine. But inside you are breaking. You're not yourself. So much is happening out there. There is only one man that can bring satisfaction to us. And that man is Jesus. I love what John 4:15 in the Message Bible, it says, the woman said, when Jesus said to her, give me a drink, you know, they began to talk. And then he said to her, if I give you water, you will never thirst again. I'm just paraphrasing that. If I give you my water, you will never thirst. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And she said, sir, give me this water. I saw desperation here. So I won't ever get thirsty. Won't ever have to come back to this well again. There were issues. That place was a place of pain. Because every time she went to that place, she was alone. She felt the shame. No other girl could go with her to get water. I don't know what has shamed you in your life concerning relationships. Yeah, maybe it is a broken marriage. Maybe you've been so disappointed. Or maybe you have been making the wrong choices and thinking that for me to feel better, for me to be like the other women, I need a man in my life. Gloria said something very powerful when she was here. You know, why do we always feel like men are always better? When I get married, I'll be happy. It's really funny when you see women are so much into wanting to get married. When the marriage comes, 6 months down the road, you are now going for prayer. Pray for my marriage. Pray for my husband. I'm having so many issues. It's really so funny. God loves you. He's crazy about you. Amen. The second thing I want to talk about, and that is something that really affected my life, is the issue of barrenness. You may be here and you struggle to have children. I struggled. I struggled to conceive and have a child biologically. And that was a breaking point in my life. I got married and, you know, nothing is happening. And, you know, Tenda is sitting there. That's my beautiful daughter. And I love her. You should see my other diva, Tinashe. They are so beautiful. Tinashe was 8 years, and Tendai was only 3. When I first met Tendai, she was only 3. But I had my own struggles, and I never saw the gift that God had given me. And many times we miss out on that in life. Barrenness brings shame. You always feel, I'm not good enough. You feel rejected. Why can't I just have a child? I don't know if my niece is here. My nieces are here. I've seen my little sister. She's sitting somewhere in the crowd. My cousin is my sister, you know, in Zambia. You know, that's my little sister. And this niece of mine, I saw her grow up from, you know, when she was born. And when she got married, I was actually her matron. And a few years later, you know, she got pregnant and she had a child. And I remember feeling so, so worthless that one day I broke down and I was on my own. I did a lot of crying on my own. And I began to say, but Lord, this is just a child I saw growing up. And she's got her own baby. What about me? What is it that I've done that you can't give me a child? But you know what? God had a bigger picture. I look at Rachel in the Bible. You see her story in Genesis chapter 30. And in verse 1, there is a cry of desperation there. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. If you have a child, you may not understand the cry that Rachel had. I know what she felt. Give me a child or else I die. But she looked at the wrong man instead of looking to God. I know the story ends well because Rachel did have kids. But God looks at us, looks at our brokenness. And I love God because he can use our brokenness. He can use our shame and turn it around. Lift our shame and bring out such beauty, such power in all of us. I stand here and I can honestly say, I am so blessed. I'm a blessed mother. Amen. When we look at Sarah, Sarah was another woman who suffered from the shame of barrenness for years. She cried out. She actually even went out and tried to help God. Can you imagine the type of desperation that a woman can get into when you get another woman and you say to your husband, can you just sleep with her? That at least by her as my maid, I can have a child. That is a woman who is desperate. Women, sometimes we go to desperate measures. We are so desperate to get out of shame that we do things that take us out of the purpose that God has for our lives. Sarah only looked at having a child. But you know, God had a plan and a purpose for Sarah, a big plan. We were told again last night, God says, I have a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, we always quote that scripture. This is a great plan, awesome plan. I love saying awesome plan. Not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God was looking at a nation. God is looking at bigger things in and through your life. He wants to achieve great, awesome things through and in your life. And all you're doing is just bringing your value down by looking at a man. I need a man. I need this baby so desperately. God loves you. He cannot fail to give you a child. He cannot fail to give you a husband who will honor you, who will love you. I just want to share something with you. I got permission to read this. And this is, for me, this is a testimony. I actually just stumbled on this letter again. I wasn't planning to do this. The other day I was going through my office and my staff, my books. And I came across this envelope. When just before Tendai went to university, she had been going to the American school. And they have this tradition that when kids graduate, they write letters to their parents to say thank you. And parents are encouraged to write letters. So a mom writes a letter. A dad writes his letter to the child. And the child writes a letter to the mother and to the dad. And, you know, I came across the letter that Tendai had written to me. And I just want to share this with you. And especially if you are struggling out there, you know, you say, I don't have my own child. And maybe you are married and there are children in the marriage and you struggle to accept those children and love them. This really touched me again. And I cried when I read this letter and I spoke to Tendai. Although she didn't really want me to. And then I said, well, you wrote it to me, so it's my letter. So I don't even know why I'm asking permission. And then she said, okay, but are you going to read all of it? And she's like that. So I said, well, I'll decide. So I'll just read this letter and so that you can know when I stand up and say, I am so blessed. Dear Mom, I don't even know where to begin. You came into my life many years ago and have grown in your arms under your watchful eyes. God truly knew what he was doing when you met Daddy. He knew that one day I would lose my mother and I would need a strong support system of love and care. I found that in you. I believe we have a special relationship, very few mothers and daughters who are not biological, excuse me, share the bond we do. Of course, it would be ridiculous for me to say we don't disagree and argue, and that happens a lot. But really, that's what mother-daughter relationships are all about. I graduate today, and it's crazy when you think about my journey from childhood till now. Growing up is a long process, from nappies to party dresses to skinny jeans. We learn a lot. We go through pain, happiness, We experience new things and slowly get to know who we really are as individuals. The biggest influence over a child's personality is that of their family members. The people who surround us and show us how to live our lives. I wouldn't be the grounded person I am today without you. You brought God into our home, taught us to love and care for each other. You gave me another family filled with people that I know truly love me. I cannot thank you enough for being who you are. I cannot thank you enough for taking me as I am. I cannot thank you enough for raising me as your own. I cannot thank you enough for everything. There will always be a special place in my heart that has your name on it because I love you. I love you. I love you very much. Always remember that. As I leave you, and she's right back here, and your dear, that's her dad. It will be sad. I'll miss you, but it is your time now. You have done your job. Although being a parent never ends, you have raised me. You have shown me good from bad, right from wrong, and you did a great job, so you deserve a break. You deserve to have your time and just do you. Stay fabulous, stay beautiful, and always have that swag. That is my daughter. And I cannot stand here and say I am not blessed. I look back and sometimes I say to myself, I would have been a better mother. But one thing I refuse to do is to stay in the past. I thank God for his love. He's given me so, so much. You may be here and you're feeling like time is running out. And I'm not getting married. Lack of marriage is something that brings shame to women. 30 years, 35, 38, you are counting. When is a man coming to marry me? There is still no proposal. There is pressure from the family. You're always attending those kitchen parties. You're going for those weddings, even being on the lineups. And now you're tired of being on the lineup. You're saying, when am I going to dance? And when are my friends going to escort me? Out of desperation, some people begin to go out with married men. Because of shame, you try to cover it up. But actually, all it does is brings more shame in your life. Can you imagine when the man comes to your home? And after being with you for a few hours, he has to leave and go back to his wife and his home. What happens to you? You're still hurt. You're still broken. A lot of people have grown up in dysfunctional families. Families where there was no grace, there was no truth. A lot of secrets were kept. I know in our time, those of us who are elderly, when we were growing up, there were a lot of hush, hush, hush. You don't talk about these things. You're bringing shame and reproach in the family. And because of this, a lot of people suffered at the hands of people they trusted, people they loved, people they looked up to. You find that there's been sexual abuse, a lot of it. And I know women still don't come out and talk about it. Issues of incest. You just have to go to YWCA and hear some of the stories that are there. And where you find a husband has been molesting his own child or a child from his wife, a stepchild. That happens a lot. And the wife, the woman, is busy covering up for her husband because of shame. That if I go out there and say my husband did this, how am I going to look? I'm going to shame my family and my marriage. Polygamy. A lot of polygamy. People have come from homes where your dad had so many wives, so many children. Sometimes you actually even born from the young sister of his wife. Shame. Very shameful and very painful. You just came into the world that way. And it's difficult for you to even talk about, and when you asked about how you were born, you know, your family, you can't talk about it. There is a story that is heartbreaking in the Bible, and that is found in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Just write that down. Because of time, I won't go through the story. I won't read it through. From verse 1 onwards down to about verse 22, somewhere there. This story ended in such tragedy, and it's a story about Tamar, the daughter of David, King David, the great king, the man after God's own heart. He had issues in his life, especially in his family. He had a very dysfunctional family. And because he had so many wives, and in those days, they allowed half-siblings to marry, actually. One of his sons, Amnon, lusted after his half-sister, Tamar. She was a virgin, the daughter of a king. And, you know, he to the point where he got sick. Can you imagine how sick that is? He was so, so lustful of the wife that, of Tamar, of his sister, that he wanted to sleep with her. And he tricked her into coming to him. And he raped her. And there was so much shame and pain that came in her life. She was so broken. She went out wailing. She said, "Look at what you've done. There's so much shame in me." And her father was angry. She was the daughter of the king, but there was nothing he could do about it. You may have gone through that, but I want to tell you today, you are the king, the daughter of the King of Kings. And he loves you. He sees that pain. And he wants you to be set free. He doesn't want you to stay in that bitterness, in that anger, in that rejection, in that pain. These are things that happen and people live with. And it's so difficult to come out there. There are issues of sickness. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know what sickness may be bringing shame in your life. There's a story of the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she was rejected by her family, her community, because of that issue of blood, until she encountered Jesus. There are sicknesses that we can't talk about. You know, the stigma that comes. You have this disease. You don't want to come out and talk about it. HIV. People will look at you and say, "Oh, wali luala walia, she is sick." And people will be looking at you strangely. We are so afraid to come out and allow the healing to begin to take place. Widowhood. Recently in the changes that he, one of the classes, one of the ladies there, beautiful woman, she just broke down and just began to talk about how she felt the shame when she lost her husband. And, you know, I hadn't thought of that before. But when I went away and God began to show me the life of Naomi, you know, the story of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was a woman who was married. She was happy. She had two sons. They moved to Moab because there was famine in the way where she lived. And she lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And she was only left with her two daughters-in-law. She came to a place where she was so bitter. And when she went back, she said, amongst her people, we know where they were so excited to see Naomi come back. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Just call me Mara. Because God has dealt bitterly with me." But when you go on and you read the story, this is a beautiful story. You know, when Naomi began to see light and she reconnected back to her God, and she took her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and began to mentor her. And finally, Ruth ended up getting married to Boaz. Boaz, who became the father of, was it the grandfather of Jesse, who was the father of David? Ruth came into the lineage of Christ. You know, you may be sitting here and saying, "You know, I've lost my husband and it's so painful. It's shameful. My life is no longer the same." But you know, one thing is, there are so many girls, young girls, who are broken, who need your mentorship out there. You need to arise. It's not time for you to get excited. "My husband is no longer alive. Now I'll go and find myself another elderly man who I can be happy with." A lot of young girls need mentoring. There is purpose for everybody. We need to get out of our shame. We need to get out of our pain and just allow God to heal us. But how does that happen? Not by hiding. You know, shame cannot stand the light of community and truth-telling. Shame, for it to heal, it needs to be exposed. I know even this time when I started looking at shame, and you know, this started coming, and I was like, Lord, can't I talk about something else? So it's like I'm always talking about this issue, you know, of barrenness and not having kids. You know, you end up sounding like Joyce Meyer, you know? And but, you know, God always has a purpose. I struggled, really, with this message. I struggled. And I saw that God has purpose for each one of us. When we begin to open up and share our lives, anyway, like Paul said, you know, my life doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to Him. So when we begin to share our lives and what we've gone through and what God has done, it brings so much healing to others. There's someone out there who's waiting for you to hold their hand and say, look, you can do this. You can make it. I've been through it. This is what God has done for me. We can do that. We were so challenged last night, and I went back with things bubbling in my heart because these are things that God confronts me with. You know, Zambia is waiting for you and me. It's not waiting for anyone else to change. Not this nonsense of Boma Yanga Nepo. That just means the government should look into it. No, it's not about the government. The government won't change things in Zambia. I stay in the State Lodge area, and there are times when we use Bowling, you know, by the clinic there, and you go through Bowling. And something that is always bothering me is when I go through Bowling, you know, the rubbish that you see. And you say to yourself, how can people live like this? Are we going to wait for the government to change things like that for us? But you know, how can we rise up and begin to see things the way God sees them if we're still, you know, so crippled by shame, by pain, always feeling sorry for ourselves? Like we were shown yesterday, that elephant that was chained. You're constantly chained. You can't move out. There is much more to life. It's not about a man. It's not about you crying, I just need a child, and that child will bring me happiness. Tenda is only back with us for a while, and she's going away again. And those kids grow up, and they leave your home. What happens? You still now sit back, and you start dreaming again of when your kids were young? God has so much more for us. He wants to use us. He wants to raise us up in this nation. But we can't do that if we're always crippled and we can't talk about things. We need to come out and bring out our issues. We need to leave the sin behind. We serve a God who is so forgiving. God loves you. I always love telling women that. Because, you know, when I look at my life, I stand here because of His love. Nothing but simply because of His love and what His love has done in my life. And, you know, God connected me to wonderful people. I have such safe friends in my life. That's what you need. Stop hiding. Find someone that you can do life with. I know you can come and say, but you, Kasonde, you don't understand. I have tried that and I've been betrayed. Yes, it's a risk. But I would rather take that risk. And I will find somebody. It's not everybody out there who is after, you know, getting at you. And, you know, like if you take my stories, so what happens? It doesn't change me. That's how I feel. I'm married. I've got a wonderful husband who loves me. He's sitting out there listening. I've got wonderful children. And, you know, God took me from a place of dirt and shame. And He raised me up. I'm not going to look at my past. So many times we look in our past and we allow that shame of our past to cripple us. You look at yourself and you feel, I'm not good enough. I'm just worthless. We get excited, especially when we sing that song, because it's an African song, because of the lyrics. We start jumping. Ani doba, ani suka, ani imya, ani kwezeka. Amen. But do we really think about what we sing? That is a powerful song. Ani doba, ani imya, ani suka, ani imya, ani. That is the process that I've been going through. God picked me up. from the dung heap, a place of death, from a place that was rubbish, I'm telling you. And he looked at me through all that nonsense, through that rubbish, and he washed me. And God began a process in my life. He lifted me up, and he's still lifting me. And that is what he wants to do with you. He just doesn't want to end with, you know, ukumisuka fie, just to clean you up. No, he wants to do much more. There is power, there is purpose in each one of you. God loves you. There is power, there is purpose in each one of you. It's time for us to arise. It's time for us to be who God created us to be. We are world changers. Our families are waiting for us. But you know, we can only change things in our families when we are healthy. We can only change things in this nation when we are healthy. This nation is in a mess. I don't care which political party you belong to. It's a mess. You can say, no, my political party is better. When they come, they'll do this. Or when they stay, they'll do this. It is a lie. It is a mess. God is looking at you. He's looking at me. Because we carry the light. I love what Psalm 119 verse 130 says. The entrance of your words, they bring light. And they give understanding to the simple. We need to allow the word of God to bring that light in our lives. Because we are the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. It's not the government that is the light of the world. It's not people coming out from other countries, like Pastor Haley said yesterday. It's not someone coming from America. Why should we wait for dawn to come and do all these exploits in the compounds? And we are sitting in our houses and we are comfortable. Why should we leave it to other people to come and bring values of excellence to us? Always talking to us about timekeeping. Come on, ladies. We can't do that. Let's begin to change our mindsets. Let's begin to arise. Amen. I'll just ask the praise team to come as we get close to closing. I want us just to worship God as we pray today.
Maker, who is all my heart, he for
powerful. I remember many occasions I would be sleeping in the night, my husband sleeping next to me. He never knew about some of the tears that I shed. He knows that place of pain where you are at, and he loves you. He knows you by name. You are his. You are his chosen one. Jesus, the great shame lifter, is here today. He wants to touch your life. He wants to lift that shame from your life. He wants you to be who he created you to be. That beautiful woman that you are. That powerful woman that you are. That dangerous woman that you are. The woman that when you wake up, the devil is even afraid. He knows there's trouble for me today because she has woken up. A woman who will leave a mark because she's there to stand up for her family. The communities need us out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes right now as we pray. You may be here and your heart is wounded. You say, I have so much shame and pain in my life. I feel so rejected in my life. I just want you to slip up your hand. I just want you to slip up your hand. You may be hurting, frustrated, angry. Maybe you've been believing God for such a long time to give you a child, and it's so hard. You've received bad reports from the doctor. Maybe about your health. Or you've been told you can't have a child. Or maybe it's 50-50, you know. The rest of us, let's do this. Just look around and see that hand. We're going to stand with our sisters. We're going to join our faith with theirs today. What we're going to do is this, the body of Christ today. God has given us the power and the authority to pray for one another. The body of Christ is going to pray for the body today. Find somebody. Just hug them and lay your hands on them and begin to pray for them. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good. We thank you because you're awesome, dear God. Thank you for loving us, oh God, in such an amazing way, Father. Lord, we join with our sisters this morning and we call down your power, Father, to touch your daughters today in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that your power will move in this place from the front row to the back, from the left and to the right, Father. That, Lord, you begin to touch bodies that are broken, that you begin to mend hearts that are broken, Father. That you begin to heal those diseases, Father, things that I can't even talk about. Father, we command those barren wombs to open today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love you. We thank you. We thank you because your presence is here. You are here to touch us today. You are here to change us today. You are here to transform us today. We give you glory, Father. We give you glory and honor, oh God, because you are worthy, Father. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be sitting there and saying, you know, but how do I even begin this? First of all, I just want to encourage you. Begin to pray. There's a little bookmark that you've been given. Stick it in your Bible. Look at these verses. You can identify with the psalmist. It talks about shame. Begin to cry to your Father. Next thing I would encourage you is look for somebody you can hook up to. Somebody you can share your life with. Somebody who will help you. There is so much power in those relationships. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Not just to pray, but confess your sins. Talk about life. Things that, you know, really hurt you. Pray for one another that you may be healed. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Let's give God all the glory this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.